Affairs and open a work session on House Bill 2395. Janet, can you...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2395, if you recall, was had a hearing on Friday and would allow local governments to invest funds that are set aside for their employee deferred compensation programs to invest those in shares of stock, including but not limited to shares of mutual funds. You may recall that there was a discussion that of needing to make sure that those funds were set aside are being held in trust so that there's no chance that they're considered government funds, because government funds cannot be invested. A city or county's or state's government funds cannot be invested directly into stocks and mutual funds. There's constitutional provisions. This measure was brought by Representative McPherson. He's not able to come today. There's representatives that can answer any questions. We do have a dash one amendment that accomplishes what was discussed in the meeting on Friday. It's a dash one amendment, and you have an updated staff measure summary that was routed regarding that amendment.
The dash one just clarifies that they're in trust, right?
Right.
Trust for existing trust. Yeah. Okay.
Mr. Chair, just a reminder that Oregon law was changed in 1997 to allow the state treasurer to invest state deferred compensation funds in common stock, and but the same authority was not given to local governments at the time.
Okay. Yeah, just extends the same authority to local governments that state governments now have that was given a few years ago. I'd entertain a motion to adopt the dash one. Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chair, I would move the dash ones, the dash one amendments into House Bill 2395.
Representative Kitts moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 2395. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, we'll adopt the dash ones to 2395. Would entertain a motion to move it to the floor. Representative Kitts again.
Mr. Chair, I would move House Bill 2395 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Representative Kitts moves House Bill 2395 as amended to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, Katie, will you call the roll, please?
Representative Escobar.
Aye.
Representative Gilman.
Aye.
Representative Colby.
Aye.
Representative
Kitts.
Aye.
Representative
Chaffler.
Aye.
Representative
Keel.
Aye.
Chair Brown.
Aye. That's a good deal. The motion carries. We'll ask Representative McPherson if he'd like to carry the bill. Thank you. Let's see, 2460. I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2460. And Janet, this is a very lengthy bill. Got four lines.
Mr. Chair, I hope I routed to your office yesterday the statute that's being repealed. That looks like this, and also the statute that's being repealed is very short, so it's also part of the staff measure summary.
The summary's longer than the bill.
I do my best, Mr. Chair. This bill repeals ORS 194.045 and eliminates the authority of county clerks to certify terms of office of notaries public. This is, according to the Secretary of State's office and the County Clerks Association, an unnecessary and outmoded statute, since the clerks no longer keep records of notaries in the county, that it's all kept at the Secretary of State's level. House Bill 2460 repeals the entire provision, and again, you can see the provision in what was routed to your office. It was also routed was the testimony of the county clerks, and so you can refer to that as they come up, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Representative Gilman is the sponsor of the bill.
That's true, Mr. Chair. Do you think I ought to go down there?
No, I think you work right where you're at.
Okay. I did this in response to a request, actually, from Dee from Crook County, and I've researched it. It makes sense to me. I think it's a good bill.
Thank you, Representative. Could we have Jan Coleman and Dee Berman, please? Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Whichever one wants to start, go right ahead.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, my name is Dee Berman. I'm the Crook County clerk. I'm nervous. And I'm also the president of the Oregon Association of County Clerks. Basically, our feelings about this bill is we support it. I've been in office for over 11 years, and I have never had a request to do a certification. My books go back to 69, so.
I've got a question of you, Dee. Do you buy your tires from Schwab?
I certainly do. Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Well,
I just see you were from Crook County.
Mr. Chairman, do you need a new driveway to park them tires on?
They go through my mud driveway very well.
Thank you, Dee. Jan?
Hey, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Jan Coleman, the Amhill County Clerk. And pardon me, I'm a little under the weather this morning. I'm just going to speak in support, too. Actually, I've done a couple of these. I have to say that I've been in the office of the county clerk for 23 years. I have to say that probably they were prior to the last 10 years. So if that tells you. We have kept no records that have been updated in our office since 1990 of notaries because they removed the law that said we'd keep any type of a record of notary in 1990. So we just don't have any records. And generally when people do certifications, it's because they have the actual record in their possession. So this was a little convoluted, actually, anyway, that we called. And I think it was originally instituted because we had kept the notaries. They were removed from our possession. And people were used to coming to us to have those certified. So for a period of time, this was put in place so people who were following their old ways could do this. But it's gone away, and we just really don't get any requests for this anymore.
Ms. Janet, go ahead. Oh, you have a question, Sam?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Did you just physically keep and archive the notary books from every notary in the county?
No, not the notary books. Not the notary. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to chair. I read the instructions that I screwed
up. We stand on a lot of protocol around here. But if you buy your tires from Rick Park,
we'll let it go.
And I'm related to half those people over there.
I even forgot the question.
I was just curious if you archived the books from all the notaries on a yearly basis, or how did you do that? But it doesn't matter because you're not doing it anyway.
Chair Brown, Representative Escobar. I got it. Basically, what we did, we maintained books that we wrote in. They were pre-printed that we would fill in, and then the Secretary of State would send us a little postcard, or send the notary a little postcard. The notary was then to bring that into us. He would sign it and affix his seal on it, and then we would staple that to the page, and that's how we would certify. But we haven't. I think our last ones were in the early 70s, and the bill was repealed, I think, in 83. So,
interesting. Old habits die hard.
Janet's got a question here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just wondering, was it notaries that would come in to get them certified, or someone else that would come in to find out the length of term of a notary?
Notaries would come in when the law changed that we didn't keep there. They could still come in and ask to be on the record in our office for a while. And that was what was repealed in 1990 when we didn't even keep that.
Okay.
And they came in and say, I want to be on the record. I do this in your county, and I want to be here. Well, that was taken away in 1990. So we just don't have anything.
Any questions? Representative Holby.
Really, a short bill shouldn't have any questions. I'm just curious, what is the term of a notary? I didn't know they had terms of office.
4 years.
4 years, and then they have to recertify, I guess?
Yes.
No other questions?
No other questions.
Okay.
Any questions?
No
question. Easy. Representative Kitts looks like he's ready to ask me. Thank you.
Thank you.
How long? Is there anyone else that would like to testify on House Bill 2460? And then I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2460 and open the work session on House Bill 2460. Representative Esquivel.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 2460 be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And can I also say put it on a consent calendar?
Later. Representative Esquivel moves House Bill 2460 to the floor with due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Katie, please call the roll.
Representative Gilman.
Aye.
Representative Holby.
Aye.
Representative Kitts.
Aye.
Representative Fossler.
Aye.
Representative Gill.
Aye.
Representative
Kubel. Aye.
Chair Brown.
Aye. Motion carries. And Representative Esquivel moves that we place House Bill 2460 on the consent calendar. Is there any objection? Seeing none, on the consent calendar. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2461. And Janet,
let
us know about this one.
House Bill 2461 was also sponsored by Representative Gilman at the request of the Oregon Association of County Clerks. You should have been routed their testimony, as well as at your place today, the testimony of the Secretary of State's office, which is also signed up to testify. This bill has a subsequent referral to the Ways and Means Committee. It would require applicants for new commissions as public notaries to complete a 3-hour education course on the laws, rules, practices, and procedures relating to notaries. It specifies that notaries applying for renewal are not required to take the course. It requires the Secretary of State to offer the courses and to certify providers of courses so that they could be done by third parties. It institutes a fee up to $5 in addition to the current application fee. The current application fee is $20 for a 4-year renewal to defray expenses. The study materials are to be provided for free. And, Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that the fees to apply to all applicants and renewals, but the course of study would be required for new applicants. And there already is a requirement to pass a written test, but it's an open book situation. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Also at your place is just a schedule from the website to show that they are offering courses currently and where those are being offered in the following year. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Representative Gilman, any comments?
Same comments as the bill before.
Thank you, Representative. Could we have Jan Coleman and Dee Berman and Tom? Don't make me embarrass you. I can't call it. All right. Okay, whoever wants to start there.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, again, my name is Dee Berman. I'm Crook County Clerk and President of Oregon Association of County Clerks. And I can testify how important it is to
to have this mandated training simply because when I worked for an attorney, I was required by my employer to have a notary. And I sent to the Secretary of State's office for the packet, got a little booklet and pulled out my test and read the book and answered all the questions and must have done pretty well because I was commissioned. But it wasn't until I became a county clerk and Tom Rush gave a seminar to the Parks Association and I realized not only the import of the notary but the liability. I don't think most notaries understand the liability that they're under when they notarize, if they notarize improperly. We can be sued for whatever. There are no limits to the monetary amount that we could be sued for if we do something improper. I've asked Tom, and he has provided two trainings to Crook County. I invited Les Schwab. I invited all the attorneys, all the banks, title companies, everyone that I could think of, schools, hospitals, everyone that used a notary. I got a wonderful response. I also had people come in from Bend and Redmond and Madras to attend the classes. And without a doubt, not one of them knew that they were liable until they took the class. And not many of them really knew that if they did an improper notary, that it could be rejected at the clerk's office if a document was brought in for recording. If the notary is improper, we reject them. And that really fusses up the title companies and you know, when they're trying to do a closing. Thank you for allowing me to speak. And I,
Mr. Chair?
Representative Schultz.
My only experience with the notary public is they witnessed the fact that I signed a document. That's the only experience I've ever had with them. What else is there that they do? What kind of liability are we talking about? What is an improper notary? And how much training and testing does somebody need for all that? And why don't we just indemnify notary publics rather than, I mean, is my experience the typical experience with the notary public? And all them other questions.
Perhaps I should take that. For the record, my name is Tom Rush. I'm with the Corporation Division with Secretary of State's office, and I've done a lot of training and supervised the notaries, and do a lot of testifying on this. Mr. Chair, Representative Schaffler, see if I can remember all the, the questions you had. Notaries do many. They actually are limited in discretion of what acts they can do. Certainly, witnessing a signature is one of those. Typically, that's in the form of an acknowledgement, where you acknowledge that this is your signature. They also administer oaths. Certify in Oregon, they certify to copies of documents, and those are the basic. That's the basic umbrella of the kinds of notarizations that happen. And typically, we come into contact with notaries when we go to get a mortgage, or when we have to do a power of attorney, or when we may have some other kind of legal document that needs to be filed, like an affidavit, for example, where the notary is notarizing the oath. These are pretty important documents. You know, thousands of dollars are at stake. The notary in that role, as Dee mentioned, is liable for the damages that may occur from an improper notarization. You know, if it's their fault that this document didn't go through, caused some damages to somebody, maybe the loan didn't close and they lost the deal, the notary is responsible. However, most notaries are notaries because their employer requires them to, like Dee was when she was there. There's a principle of law called respondeat superior, and I'm not a lawyer, so if I got that, you know, kind of wrong, excuse me. But under the same kind of acts where law, where the employer is responsible for the acts of the employee during the course of their employment, a notarization also fits under that. And so therefore, when a notary does something wrong, often the employer is brought in too. Obviously, the employer has a lot more money than the notary does anyway, so they're often the target. For this reason, a lot of banks have shut down their access to notaries for anything that's not for bank business. So it becomes, the liability issue is indeed recognized. Now, the reason why notaries are not indemnified, I don't know the whole reason, but I do know that throughout the country, throughout the history of the United States, as far as I know, notaries have never been indemnified because somebody needs to be responsible for this action. You know, and the way that they are indemnified is by taking reasonable care. And the courts of law have said that if notaries do what they're supposed to do according to law, they need to know the law, they need not to do anything that's fraudulent or criminal intent, and they take just the kinds of actions that a person of average intelligence and prudence would take, then that's their indemnification. They're not held liable. Okay? But they don't know that. They don't. Even though we have this in a guide, in a notary guide, even though we have a law that says this is what you're supposed to do, many, many, if not most, notaries do not follow what they're supposed to do. And so inadvertently leave themselves open to being liable. I'm sorry. If you have any other questions, I'll stop.
I just want to follow up.
Please. Okay, follow up.
Okay, so give me. I just need a real life example of someone doing something, an improper notary, and the frequency of that. I mean, we got notaries all over Oregon screwing up and filing improper notaries documents, notarized documents at the county clerk's office. Is this rampant in Oregon?
You guys, take a look.
I can give you one example, Chair Brown, members of the committee, Representative Chopler, is that right?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
We had a notary probably a couple years ago. This is a real blatant example, and it shouldn't have happened, but it did. Where the notary was signing that they notarized by telephone. In other words, the person was not in front of them.
Well.
They were notarizing.
Representative Esquivel had a question.
Actually, it's not a question. What it is you had painted doom and gloom. I want to know who's had to buy a mortgage. Because you're talking about a mortgage document that may not close and there's a lot of liability. Where is that? When did that happen?
Chairman Brown, Representative Esquivel, when did it happen?
Tell me when it happened.
I can't tell you a particular when it happened. I can tell you, here's an example I do know where there was a problem with the notarization that was saved because the notary did it right. They were educated and they do know. And that was when in a bank document a notary was supposed to notarize for, it was a loan document. I don't know if it was a mortgage, but it was a loan of some kind. And it was a $30,000 amount. The person who the notary notarized for gave the notary improper ID. But the notary noted the ID. They did everything they were supposed to do, actually. And this is an example of what happens when you do it right. And the, and when it came out that the person was improper, they tried to sue the bank because the bank's notary was the one who had notarized the document. The notary, though, could say to the person, here it is in my journal, here's what I did, and I did what I was supposed to do. They dropped the suit and saved the bank basically $30,000. Now, there are bonding. Oregon doesn't have a bonding requirement, but there are bonding companies all over the country for different states that do require that, and there are claims against those bonds. I can't tell you because we don't get the statistics on the damages that happen with notaries. I don't have that because that doesn't come into us. I can tell you that improper notarizations happen all the time.
Sure, they happen every day with recordings because someone will mess up and do something or not fill in a date or something. And they get kicked back for a recordation of a document. Is that correct?
Yes.
And
but why? I guess, and I'm not against this. I'm for the 3 hours. It's okay. But I guess what you're painting a picture of doom and gloom, and I'm not sure I've ever even witnessed it or even heard of it.
I had a document. I'm sorry, Chair Brown, Representative Escobar. I had a week and a half ago, and I have this happen, not a lot, but it happens every so often. An attorney sent us a deed document. His notary, his secretary, notarized it, but he didn't sign it. He was supposed to have signed it, but they sent it to us, and he hadn't signed it. She had notarized it. That happens. It happens every so often, and we kick them back to the person that presents the document to us. If we know them, we kick it back to them because obviously if I send them on to the Secretary of State's office, it could get someone into some serious trouble. I have sent in some different things. We had a lady who had been an Oregon notary, then she moved to Washington, then she moved back and her notary had expired. She took an X-Acto knife and cut the date off of her. So we...
No, committee, I think I'm going to back up and let the people give their testimony, and then we'll open up to questions, okay?
Oh, that's fine, Mr. Chair. Now that I'm next in line, I won't take it personally.
Go ahead. Go ahead and give your testimony.
Don't forget, I buy my tires at Les Schwab, too. At least I used to.
So did I, Mr. Chair.
Well, I think out of courtesy to the people that are trying to testify, we need to let them have it. They've come a long ways to do it. Thank you.
Well, for the record, my name is Tom Rauschen with the Secretary of State's office, and the background information you have before you is basically my testimony. But before we go on, I buy my tires at Schwab. I do live in Salem, but I do buy my tires at Schwab. The bill is, let me just give you a little bit of background. In 1989, this is the bill that really changed everything, and we referred to it in the last bill, and it was the one that established the idea of a test, open book test, for notaries, because the legislature realized that notaries needed education. But that open book test doesn't work. And I'll give you a personal example. I took the test. This is before I actually became over the notary section. But I became a notary. I took the test. And my first notarization was a year from the date that I took the test. I remembered nothing of what I had. It was a 20-question test. I had taken it, open book. I didn't have to think. I just looked up the answers and wrote it down. And so what I did remember that I could, since I don't know how to do it, I could look up in the law. I used the materials the Secretary of State had provided, and I was able to do the notarization. And I actually had somebody check it out so I could say that I did it right. A lot of notaries don't do that. A lot of notaries don't know what they're supposed to be doing. And we send out hundreds of advice letters every year saying, look, here's where you screwed up. And those are just the ones that we get because they need to be authenticated. The documents need to be authenticated and sent to another country. Sometimes county clerks send us examples. I have conducted personally for several years seminars all over the state. We have a person full-time now doing seminars for this and for some of our other programs. She conducts more than between 35 and 45 seminars a year. It gets a fraction of the notaries that we actually commission. And those notaries generally are people who are already notarized. Those people who come to the exam or come to the course are already notaries. And they say to us, invariably, like 97% was one of the surveys we had, it says, please make this mandatory. We didn't know this stuff. I wish we would have known. And that's what we're doing is responding. Since Oregon did their tests requirement in 1989, several states, not every state, a lot of states have a test requirement now. States have found that that's not enough. And North Carolina, several years ago, was the first to require education. They require 6 hours, and you have to go to community college, and it's a quite long experience. Florida was the next state. They put their notary, their education online. They don't have a test requirement, but they put the education online. And they've got 90% of people going online to do this. California had one of the most rigorous testing programs of all. The proctored test, very long thing. They said that's not enough. And so they now require education. Pennsylvania, which is one of the most aggressive in pursuing notary misconduct, they now require education. We think it's a trend. We think it's a trend for a reason. And we fully support the county clerk's bill on this, and we believe that this will make Oregon a better place to get notarization and will make us notaries more competent, knowledgeable, and trustworthy. I urge your support and thank you for this.
Thank you, Tom. Jan, please.
Chair Brown, members of the committee, my name is Jan Coleman, Yamhill County Clerk. My testimony just goes down the basics of the proposed law. Basically, I think part of the approach has been before that employers and so forth don't want to invest a lot of time in their people doing training for notaries. It's pretty, you know, quick, whatever. Why do they need to spend time in training? Well, the law actually sets out several times a year. It doesn't limit. They can do training around the state during different times of the year. It also provides that people other than the Secretary of State's office can be certified as trainers. So anybody in a business, if they so desire and go through the training, can be trained so that they can train their own employees. It also sets out a really minimal fee, $5, for materials that go along with the class. And actually, state can't raise that fee unless they change the law here. So, you know, there's really not a lot of cost involved. And 3 hours of training, quite frankly, in 4 years, speaking as clerks who have training all the time, that's really, really minimal. And if the employer gets certified on their own, they could do it an hour at a time and over a certain period of time. So it's just a matter of the new law just providing multiple trainings, trying to make it more accessible for employees who thought this was taking their employees' time away from the job. And it should provide that if several people in a workplace get certified and so forth, they can verify with each other that they're doing this correctly.
Thank you, folks. Representative Kitts.
Thanks.
Now is your shining hour.
Thank you for your indulgence. Tom, I guess this is a question for you, if possible, because you seem to have the historical knowledge of this issue. How long have we had notaries in Oregon?
Representative Brown, Chair Brown, Representative Kitts, that's a good question. As far as I know, it's not written in the Constitution, but as far as I know, the notary public function has been since the creation of the state. I don't know when the current, I don't know when it was actually first enacted in our statutes. I do know the notary public function has been since the beginning, before the beginning of this country.
So, fair to assume, for the committee's sake, we've had notaries in this state for 146 years.
Representative Kitts, I believe that's true.
Okay. You mentioned that an example that you cited, somebody provided a notary over the phone. Mm-hmm. You think that person knew at the time, based on their limited training that they've had thus far, that what they were doing was wrong?
Chairman Brown, Representative Kitts, that wasn't my example. I'm guessing they didn't, but...
Actually, that person was an attorney.
They didn't know.
Okay,
I would venture to guess, and if the committee would indulge me in an assumption, being an attorney, having had schooling in the law up to 3 years to obtain that Juris Doctorate degree and passing the bar, he probably knew it was wrong. So whether or not that attorney, after the 3 years of college, law school, took a 3-hour class, he would have still known it was wrong.
Now, I guess my concern is you provide documentation for people when they want to be a notary. Mm-hmm. It outlines what they can and can't do, what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. I don't think that a three-hour class is going to address the problems that you seek. And I'm very apprehensive that after 146 years of having a notary public in the state of Oregon, that this is a need other than just one more step of a bureaucracy, one more fee that Oregonians have to pay. So I don't know that I think that the case has been made that, number one, that by taking this class versus reading the packet of information that's already provided, that it's going to better inform anybody. I think that the better angle is that if this is the rampant problem that my good friend and colleague from Happy Valley has shown, that the foundation of which our state is built is in jeopardy by this problem, that we put some type of a fine or increase the penalties as a result of breaking existing law, because I think that would better address the problem of these rampant fraudulent notary publics out there that are deceiving everybody. So I just don't know about putting another layer of bureaucracy for the people of Oregon to obtain something. So that's my only concern. Thank you.
Are there any other questions? Representative Escobar.
Well, my question is, of course, getting back to the statement about the individual that cut their with an X-Acto knife, what would 3 hours difference have to do with that? I mean, if you're crooked, you're crooked.
That's true. Chair Brown, Representative Escobar.
Does it say do not take an X-Acto knife?
The mandatory training, I believe, is more helpful to those people who are honest and trying to do the right thing. That's what this training is aimed at, and it isn't because it isn't for those that are going to commit fraud and knowingly commit fraud. It is for those like myself. When I was a notary earlier, I did not actually know. Fortunately, most of the notaries I did went to circuit court. But had I been doing notaries for deeds, mortgages, I did some power of attorneys too. But had I known that I needed my jurisdiction in there, that I needed to have that person's name in there, that I needed the date, that I could not stamp over any writing, those things are the types of things that we reject a document in recording for. They have to be a proper notarization. The statute states properly notarized, and properly notarized then goes back to Chapter 194, and it spells out how it has to be notarized. The book tells you to do this, and Tom is right. My staff and I take that test every 4 years. It's an open book test. I got stupid last time and missed questions, but normally you don't miss a question. But it's an open book, and it does not tell you deeds and mortgages and have to follow other statutes other than Chapter 194.
Just a comment. I think if what I hear you're testifying to and what I read's in the law, you're not trying to stamp out some terrible crimes that are going out there. You're trying to inform people that are notaries so that they don't inadvertently do some damage or harm to someone that needs your services. Is that right?
Exactly.
Thank you. Representative Escobar.
Yes, on this 3 hours of education, how will that be? Will it be available online, or I mean, how will this work? Because I mean, I hate to see someone from Lakeview have to go to Salem to take 3 hours of education or something of that nature.
Chair Brown, Representative Esquivel, that's a very good point, and we've taken steps to make sure that it's available to everybody when they want it, as they want it. The first thing is of course, as Jan mentioned, is that if an employer, and I think a lot of title companies and banks would take up this opportunity, if an employer wanted to do their education themselves because they felt they didn't want to send their employees away, they could do it themselves. Also, there are providers that exist in the country, that once you have mandatory education, you create a big enough market, they'll move in and provide education as well. Third thing, we, as I think you have before you, we have a schedule of seminars that we provide all over the state. And some of them come are more than once in that same locale during that year. The fourth thing is we are in the process of developing a web-based tutorial and test online application system for notaries. That would be available 24/7. And again, it wouldn't be something you would have to go someplace to do. It wouldn't be someplace that you something you'd have to do from start to finish, 3 hours online, because nobody wants to go through that. They can avoid it. You can do it in chunks. You know, the way we'll design it will be to do it in chunks as it goes along. As I mentioned, there are other states that do this way, and they've had tremendous success. And so that's what we want to do, too, is we want to provide. I think, too, just to address some things, concerns people have made, as Dee said, this law isn't to stop criminal intent. Most of what we see is people doing things inadvertently because they don't know. And we find that when we talk to them, when we do a class, they say, you know, I had the book. I didn't understand it until I actually talked to you, until I actually heard the different issues that were involved. A lot of people don't even read this stuff, to be frank. You know, I mean, it's people, I'm sure we all do this. We just kind of skim over things and take what we have to do that day. We don't have time. So when they take the time to take the test or to take the education, they learn it. And then they stop doing the things that they didn't know they weren't supposed to do in the first place. So that's a long-winded explanation.
Thank you, Tom. Representing Holy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to speak in favor of this bill. Having had a notary in my employ before, I know that there is a correct way to maintain a logbook, what identification that you can accept, and you know a series of where the the certification takes place on certain documents, and it's not always just a cut and dry issue that somebody can just look at a book once and get it right. And so I think it would be helpful for notaries to be able to walk through the process of doing things correctly. So I am in favor of this, but I do, after making that statement, do have a question about the not to exceed $5 in Section 3 of this bill, given that the charge is supposed to defray the costs incurred by the Secretary of State. I'm wondering if it's necessary to include the not to exceed $5 for the reason that someday in the future $5 may not cover the cost. And I'm really think $5 isn't really very much for materials you're offering and perhaps time involved in this if there's a charge for that. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on including or, you know, just the not to exceed $5 fee in there. And are you comfortable that that's going to cover or defray the cost to the Secretary of State?
Chairman Brown, Representative Foltby, we do think this will work. The $5 is primarily because of materials costs. We provide a notary guide to every notary. We do annual flyers. We have other kinds of educational kinds of materials that we provide when we go out and do seminars. We're hoping that with the tutorial online that we're going to save money as time goes on, so that this $5 will not be something we'll be coming back to you every session for. The fee hasn't changed since 1989. Okay, we set $20 in 1989. We still haven't ever come back to the legislature and asked for an increase in that fee, because we've been able to, through technology and through efficiencies that we've been able to do as a state government, just to make it able for us to be able to live on that $20 application fee. The $5 will cover our expenditures now. We anticipate that it will continue to cover the expenditures. I can't make promises that will never it will always be adequate, but we believe that anything larger will be could be an egregious increase over the previous amount. I mean, increase of $10, $15, $20, like some states do. That's going to be quite a bit of jump. And so we're trying to limit the burden on notaries and their employers who pay those charges.
How many notaries are there in Oregon?
Representative Brown, Chairman Brown, there are about 46,000 notaries in Oregon. The number increases every year.
Do notaries charge a fee?
Representative Brown, they may charge a fee. They don't have to charge a fee. They can charge up to $5 if they haven't signed a waiver for fees. But many do not. Certainly, when we get notarization, notary requests at the Secretary of State's office, we never charge a fee. And other avenues do not as well. More and more people are charging fees because fewer and fewer notaries are being available to for different purposes, and that's another story altogether.
Thank you. Any other question?
I'm sure that attorney will charge you a fee for that. Even if it's over the telephone, Mr.
My
Chair.
My experience is yes, they probably would. Yeah. Okay.
And it'll
Any
be
other
more
question?
Than $5.
Okay. Thank you, folks, for coming.
Thank you.
Committee, I'm going to... we spent almost an hour on this bill. I'm going to... request that an amendment be brought back to remove the $5 fee, and then we'll talk about that with it, and ask for the referral then to be removed to the Ways and Means Committee. And with that, I'll close the public hearing. And Janet, do we have we have a couple of committee bills. Right there. Okay, I want to open the work session for the purpose of introducing committee bills. We have before us LC 1782 and LC 3087. Representative Kitts.
Mr. Chair, I'd move LC 1782 and LC 3087 be administered as committee bills.
Representative Kitts moves that we introduce LC 1782 and 3087 as committee bills. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? They're adopted as committee bills. Anything else, Janet?
Mr. Chair, the Senate General Government Committee did hold a hearing on the public contracting bill yesterday, House Bill 2214, and I have the testimony. It's pretty much what the bill that you heard, and they have a list of amendments, but they did not have the amendments yesterday, so the bill did not pass out of committee. And I understand from their conversation yesterday, there's still an issue regarding the energy savings performance contracts that were discussed in this committee. And Stephen Kafoury asked for another week to work on those amendments related to that issue for a client of his. So I don't know that this will be coming back very quickly to the House floor for concurrence. It has to go through another meeting with the Senate General Government Committee, get to the Senate floor, and then come to the House floor for concurrence. So just wanted to keep you kind of apprised of that. As you know, you tried to pass it out quickly so that it could take effect yesterday.
Right. We didn't try. We did. Yeah, Janet. We did.
You did. Anyway, so I just wanted to let you know that was still going on.
Thank you, Janet. Anything else? And then we are adjourned.